This is Jean McMillan interviewing Mrs. Jill Scott at her home, 33 Indian Mountain Road. Mrs. Scott is going to talk about Garden Club history, the history of Salisbury Garden Club. The date is September 26, 2012. What is your full name?
Jill Marguerite Scott.
And where were you born?
In Essex, in England.
And your birth date, please?
May the 2nd, 1932.
Your parents' names?
Ted and Gladys Pawsey.
And how do you spell Pawsey?
P-A-W-S-E-Y.
Thank you. Do you have siblings?
I have two brothers.
And their names?
Jack and Robert, and Robert is still alive.
Good. Your education?
I have normal private boarding school, high school, which I guess is rather like Hotchkiss Salisbury School here, and just 1 year of college.
How did you come to the area?
My husband decided he needed a change, and he applied to a school in Canada, but we found that Canada was in the midst of the Quebecois situation. It didn't even promise to teach our children in English. And the French and English were at loggerheads. And my husband was a Rotarian, or joined the Rotarian Club, and it was the only cross-border club around, I think. And he found himself much closer to the Americans of Vermont than he did the Canadians.
So I'm so glad.
We had had a boy on an exchange program at the school where my husband taught in England, which was in the precincts of Canterbury Cathedral. And he had enjoyed his year with us that he'd come back to visit more than once. So when we came over here, we went down to see him, and he was a director of Aetna Insurance Company, I think it is. Mm-hmm. And he was convinced he should get us into a school here. So he talked to people at Hotchkiss, and that's how we ended up at Hotchkiss.
Wonderful. Now we're going to talk specifically about the Salisbury Garden Club.
Good.
When was it formed?
Very early on. It was incorporated in 1913 by a male, which is fairly unusual, Mr. David Sanford George, who was a florist. We are founder members of Federated Garden Clubs of America, probably the second after New Canaan. As it happens, no further men were allowed until Tom Drew renewed a year. He had tried many years to join us, and he requested again membership in the 90s, and our bylaws were changed. And we've only had a man, two or three men since then.
Now, I think when we talked before, you said there was a federated group, and then there was another.
A national
group.
There are two different groups. There's a local one here that has, it's the Millbrook Garden Club, that belongs to the other group. And they have a different kind of, at least our club was more oriented towards the local area, mm-hmm. and to dealing with schools and the townspeople. Whereas the Millbrook goes more for the very formal side of things, as far as I know.
Which leads into my next question. What is the purpose of the Salisbury Garden Club?
Well, as I saw it at the time, and the reason I wanted to join was because of the school's program that I knew about at the time. I had three young children, so coming from England, I love gardens, and it was somewhere I very much wanted to join.
Talk a little bit about the school program, please.
I can go on forever. During the time that I was really involved with the school, we started off by having a small group of us who went in, I think once a month, to I think every grade at the very beginning. Actually, should I read that rather interesting piece we had from the Congress of the United States?
Well, if
we'll
you
leave
wish,
that till later.
Let's leave that till later, because I do have it down.
Okay. We went into this, and I remember being with my very good friend at the time, Edith Scott. And I'm Jill Scott.
And the tall Mrs. Scott and the short Mrs. Scott.
That you will remember well. And we have remained friends since, and in fact, we're probably almost the last two people to stay doing school programs as it ran down. As it piled up, we did some amazing things. We had now the words have gone for the garden outside, which we put into the town.
The community garden? Word.
No, it was a special wildflower.
Wildflower
garden. Lost the word. The wildflower garden that we had on the town field, and I'm not sure of the name of it, right on Main Street in Salisbury on the left. There was a fair there a few years, but
Stiles Meadow?
That sounds right.
Okay.
Yes. We had a circular garden there, and it didn't last very long because, of course, wildflowers beat each other out until there's only the certain kinds left. But we took loads of children up there, and they did the digging and the planting and the caring for it. And we went on from there to having a wonderful chairman of the school program, Noreen Breschler. And she had the idea that we would perhaps build a garden in the school itself, which we did. She had it plowed and we had it fenced. Each group that was really wanted to do this had a certain area of the garden which they could grow different things. I think that the program for growing the right things for the second grade so that they could do the corn, pumpkins, and they'd do this one year and the next, when they moved up into the next grade, they would be able to harvest what they'd done. Some of the grades did flowers. We had different things going, and we learned about, the children learned how to deal with compost.
Was the Salisbury Garden Club involved in town beautification?
Oh, yes, very much so.
And what did they beautify?
All the window boxes. I think pretty well all the window boxes. We'd do it twice, once in the summer and once in the fall. Oh, how I hated throwing out the stuff in the summer so we could put the fall ones in. And I believe it goes on, but of course, we joined the town and the Salisbury Board of the Commerce group and our own beautification. We all gave a certain amount of money and put it together, and we all worked together.
And
so it tended to be mostly the garden club that did the work.
What year was that? 1977?
It was more in the 80s and 90s. Oh yes, 1977 is when that first happened through the town as well.
Oh good.
You're absolutely right on that one.
How did you raise money in the garden?
Oh, mainly by our plant sale. It was really well known in its heyday. Mm-hmm. I think I remember the highest amount we made, 4,000, which we thought was huge.
Yes.
But that was the highest until, of course, the secret gardens came in and they picked our date, and by that time our club was beginning to get a bit ancient and a bit out of date, and things began to go downhill, which was really sad.
What did you spend this money on besides plants for the beautification?
Well, of course, for the club
program,
we needed to pay for some of our programs.
And what were some of the programs that you did?
I have one particular year here because we kept a yearbook. And you would get this as a member and find out what was on. For instance, starting in January, here's one year. A nurseryman's favorite trees and shrubs. February, philosophy of pruning, what, where, and when. Then a workshop for dig and divide. And then birdscaping. Then we had, of course, the plant sale preparation, which, and that month we also had the plant sale, plus a reception and preview sale where you could come and buy things early while drinking your wine and eating your hors d'oeuvres.
And where did you get the plants from?
Most of it was dig and divide, as I mentioned in an earlier one. Mm-hmm. Other people's gardens, because the whole point of this was that anything you bought at our sale was local, and therefore it was likely to grow locally.
Smart move.
But eventually, we actually found somebody who was the New York Botanical Gardens, which is about an hour's drive away. And he started actually growing things for us that we found would be very popular. And the only trouble there was we had to keep them in our own greenhouses because he had to get rid of them out of his place and not get sold by mistake or keep on watering them. And that's scary because then you get bugs and things. And it was, each year whoever was chairman of that would have slightly different ideas. Okay, back on to this. That same month was the plant sale and followed by a gardener's tag sale. We had a lot of things left over in our own gardens at that stage. And then the same month, planting of the town window boxes and planters. Then we had planning your fall bulb garden. July was a members' garden tour. August was an evening picnic.
Ooh.
And a speaker on the moonlight garden.
Oh my.
That's mostly a white garden, I think, if I remember. September, we had behind the scenes a year at Old Westbury Garden. And frankly, I can't remember where that is. But it must have been somebody knew who came and spoke to us about it. In October.
From Callis.
Oh.
Daylilies. It's the eastern part of Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. Somebody would have, our head committee for doing the meetings would have found him. Fall planting and cleanup of town window boxes in October, and our annual general meeting. Oh boy, that was the best meal of the year.
Oh, tell me.
No idea that whenever you have, I guess you call them potlucks,
mm-hmm.
which is new to British people, everybody just doesn't bring what they've got, they bring their very, very, very best.
Ooh.
And your plate is packed and you just thoroughly enjoy that. And of course, we had the meeting as well, but
mm-hmm.
yeah,
mm-hmm.
that was good. November, winter decorating of planters and wreaths from the wild. I was, a couple of local members were doing a workshop. So sometimes we'd have a couple of things going on. And then in December, we nearly always had a party at someone's house.
Oh, of course.
We needed to celebrate. That was the fun. We had several fun things.
Yes, it sounds that way.
But that's an average year in the 70s, 80s, 90s.
Did you do flower shows?
Oh, being members of Federated Garden Clubs, we paid our dues and you were expected to do flower shows. And yes, I can remember several that were really interesting. It's all very formal. You have to follow the rules exactly. People give of their free time to come and judge you. And of course, it's always fun to get a ribbon or two. And you follow directions of size, shape, color. You have to label everything you put in a pot.
As a teacher, I like that, following directions.
And I think my most memorable one was at the Holly Williams house.
That was a lovely one.
I think we did two there. And that made it special because when you're in a home like that.
It's much different than if you're in a church hall.
Yes. Well, we did the Methodist church and we did congregational church. So we moved around. Mostly we're in the congregational church because most of the time I was there, that was our meeting place.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we had to pay them too.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, only a nominal. They were really, really good to us because, it's a lot of mess we tend to make. And we paid for a custodian every week.
Did some of your members do just local shows or did they do other
venues? Some of our members, we had some really talented people. And I can remember one or two at least going up to Chesterwood.
Oh.
Where they have a
big one.
Juried flower show. Mm-hmm. So yes, we had some very talented people doing that kind of thing.
Now, I'm sure that some of you ladies, or maybe the club as a whole, won some awards.
Oh, don't mention that.
I just did.
We went to a meeting. Occasionally, you felt like being good and going to the Federated meeting, which would be in some big hall of about an hour away. It wasn't too bad. But this particular time, being a club that nobody had ever heard of, as what I consider the Boonies, probably the furthest from anybody, we were tucked also in the furthest corner of the hall.
Naturally.
And we had no idea that that was going to be a time when we would be given awards. Five awards, which meant going up to the head table
five times. And the long, slow walk from the furthest corner of the hall to
Absolutely.
The head table.
That was funny.
Wonderful. Did the club publish a book?
Oh, they did. It was called Solutions for Local Problems, Gardening in the Northwest Corner, and it was written and illustrated by members. It was published in 1977.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's fun.
I
wonder if they're around. I haven't heard or seen any.
Ah, no. Okay. Now, you were also going to read the number of committees that were involved in the Garden Club, and I'm assuming that almost everyone in the Garden Club was on some of the committees.
We tried very hard to do that, because each head of a committee was expected to find themselves a committee. You always get the people who decide that they'll do everything for themselves.
Uh-huh.
But we did try to involve every member in something. That was pretty important. Well, alphabetically, civil beautification, which we've talked about, communication, which of course meant hoping to get things in the paper, finance, which was very important, though we were never, we actually did hold a CD, so we didn't actually ever get very far. And when the club finished, we gave all the money to Salisbury Central School to be used for garden programs of one sort or another, and I recently checked that. And that's exactly what it was used for.
Oh, good.
Sending, for instance, one big one we've been doing for always is sending first grade on their trip to Freund's.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
in Canaan?
Yes. Teresa is an amazing teacher. And she would take the kids around the garden. She would take them to the milking shed. And then she would have some project or other sitting down that they could all do. And a drink, and no cookies, not cookies, they'd usually be crackers or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And parents could come, which of course gave a chance for her for publicity. So,
sure.
But she'd made that for so much so that I think this still goes on.
Good. Oh, I'm glad.
Oh,
we were reading the
committees, weren't we? After that, flower creativity, horticulture, hospitality, because we always had dinner meetings, and so the tables had to be set up, the washing up had to be organized. And I think we always would bring our own lunch package, but then somebody would always bring cookies, so somebody would be responsible for giving a little bit extra. Then, of course, we needed membership coverage, because to be a member was fairly formal in the early days. You had to have a letter from someone who was suggesting that you came, and a backup.
Oh.
And they were read in with just the club officers. So we could black boot somebody if we wanted.
Ah.
I don't think it ever happened, but no, it was very formally done. Plant sale, which is obviously a very big...
it's heavy, a big endeavor.
Yes. But you know what? Once it was at its prime and it got up there, it was so easy.
Mm.
Because everybody tended to do the same thing.
And they knew what they were doing.
Yes.
Makes a lot of difference.
Yes. The enthusiasm that was there then was really terrific. Programs was, I think, one of the hardest to deal with.
Yes.
Because you can have egg on your chest if something goes wrong when nobody turns up. Publicity, that sends communication. Now, I wonder what... Oh, I think communication was like a secretary... think again. Communication meant somebody was sick. You made sure you contacted them. And you also knew if there was any problem with any member, so you could tell the rest of the club. That was the difference between publicity and communication. And finally, the school.
Yes.
Which was small, got big, and then got small, I think, because the teachers, you probably know a great deal more about this, the teachers simply didn't have time for us, sadly to say.
Yeah. There was such an input into the curriculum and such an emphasis on Connecticut mastery tests and teaching in preparation for the test, that our time was very circumscribed.
And it's sad because now when you think about it, it's coming right back.
Oh, yes.
We don't learn about the birds and bees. This is a perfect moment.
It is.
To tell you that we have here and will keep. Part of the letter was written to us from the Congress of the United States House of Representatives, Washington, D.C.
What date?
January 20th, 1987.
Perfect.
The study of horticulture. The goals of this project are, 1, to improve students' motivation. 2, to expand the curriculum. 3, to involve the business community in the educational process, and 4, to provide impact for staff development.
Excellent.
The program provides time for the members of the Salisbury Garden Club to instruct students using horticulture as a motivation for learning science. The story of seeds, trees, and nature expands through the classroom walls to the outdoors.
Couldn't be better.
I know, it's pretty fun to read that. I hadn't found it until I was going through some old files.
What year did the Garden Club disband?
Oh, I think it was about 2004. I think the last book we had was probably only 2002.
I think you said it was the 90th year that they disbanded.
That was the big thing. We were busy talking about our 90th, what we should do for our 90th, and just nobody came up with any suggestions. And the more you talk, the more you realize that
it just was.
We were getting too old. The younger members would like to do it at night. We tried that briefly. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we're based on the old senior generation.
Yes.
Like myself, who are really looking forward to being able to sit back after doing some committee work and enjoy the future.
I'm coming up on that. I can understand that.
There were no young people to follow up with us because they were all too busy.
They were all too busy.
They were now working, which wasn't the case.
No, not back in the 70s and the 80s, no. We're having the same thing, whether it's a church organization or a book club or a garden club, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
The older generation is tired, and they've done their bit, and there isn't the person in the younger generation to pick up the slack, not because there isn't the interest or the desire, there isn't the time. We're just too busy.
Yeah. I think one or two members went either to Millbrook or to Sharon, from what I hear.
How many ladies were left in the club when you disbanded? Roughly?
I would like to think there were as many as 40, but I don't know. I'd have to count up in the last book. It was becoming hard to pull the dues out of them because, of course, we had to send some into the national. And so
yes.
So we had to be disbanded officially.
On the member tours, where are some of the places that you went?
I remember going to Innisfree.
And that's in New York State?
Yes. Audubon. Weathersfield. That was somewhere I never knew even existed.
And that's the one in New York State.
Yeah, it's only a 20-minute drive from here if you know the back route. And it's still open, I think, at weekends. I think the most amazing one I remember, and I can't say too much about it, it's a private home. It's a private estate where the owner was attempting to reconstruct the Appalachian Trail. And its entire
ecosystem?
Yes. There were trees which were being had watering set up all around the sort of almost field-like area, bringing up so that they could grow the old man's beard on the trees.
Oh, my word.
Down in Georgia. It was just amazing. I saw trees being lifted by cranes the size that you and I have in our gardens.
Oh, my gosh.
And should be put in. And it was the most amazing, and it didn't seem to have a reason for doing it. It was just a private garden, and it was incredible.
It was his passion.
Yes.
It was his
passion. Yes, it was. If he decided what he would like next week or the week after, it was done.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Oh, I wish.
Somebody's dream.
Do you remember any outstanding speakers? People that gave programs for
the
club?
Well, you know, our own members gave some.
That's what I was getting at.
we had talented members there, and they would have some specific thing they would like to do. I wouldn't like to give names because too many members did it. Also, we would go to some members' gardens. That was always fun.
Oh, it would be.
Yeah.
It would be.
Hard work for the person because they never wanted a single weed to show
up. Oh, which is why I never joined the garden club. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with me that you haven't already discussed?
Well, just because I happen to go to be able to do this, but the Federated runs tours to do with gardening. There's one coming up down in Virginia, so it can be local too, but I know that other members have done this, but I happen to go to Costa Rica.
Ooh.
And I will never forget an orchid garden there. The woman who was doing it was her passion. And it was a very big garden. She took us on a tour, and she was trying very hard to educate the Costa Ricans as to what a resource they had there. Because what happened was all the youngsters would go in and help themselves to the orchids growing in the woods. And maybe some of them learned how to sell them to the tourists. And then the tourists found they couldn't do it because they wouldn't be allowed to bring them in, and they'd be smuggling them. Mm-hmm. She wanted this to become
a resource that was renewable.
The country, and she wanted to teach young people. So I did hear that when we got back, that Federated sent her some money.
Oh, good.
And that was something nice to know.
It was nice. It was nice. Anything else that you'd like to add?
I haven't thought of anything more.
Thank you so much for your time and such an interesting subject. Thank you.